Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and everything in between, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I've got Asa Gray, the five-star man.
All five.
The... Oh, no. High and mighty Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Gotta remember that, because I really like that intro for some reason. I like the high and mighty Dalton Anthony. It's very funny to me.
It's very funny.
You should start lifting weights and doing drugs, too. I mean, really, you should start lifting weights anyway, but...
But then the drugs would also help.
Yeah, your wrestling career would certainly be improved if you actually started lifting weights.
And Axe Allwort would love the 80s in me of just starting to doing coke before matches. So
there you go.
All right, and I'm your host, Jesse Kimball. And we thank you so much for being here. Not a lot of news happening in the last 2 weeks. I really want to get back to being able to do this as a weekly show.
Yeah.
But today when I was compiling the news report, I could really see it's like, yes, we are still in the midst of a pandemic. Because most of the big news stuff is just talking about like either stuff getting postponed or like certain industries being in grave danger. Like the movie theater business is apparently in big trouble. We talked a few weeks ago about how it could become the new norm that new movies are going to release on streaming services and people can just watch them from the comfort of their own home at a premium price, a la Bill and Ted and Mulan. And it's looking like that's getting closer and closer to the case, as we've got another couple of movies that we'll be releasing straight to video on demand, and the last big blockbuster of the season has officially been pushed to next year. James Bond's No Time to Die is going to be pushed.
So is, I just realized I saw this and I didn't send it to the, I didn't add it, but apparently Dune also got delayed.
Really? Yeah. I didn't think that was that releasing this year?
It was supposed to be like December, I think, or November. Oh, shit.
That's kind of surprising because they just got the trailer like a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I did not think it was going to hit this year.
Okay, story from Collider. It got delayed to October 1st, 2021. It was supposed to open on December 18th this year and then got pushed all the way to October 1st next year.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is an extreme push.
Yeah,
like,
and it's...
I feel like that is more than it's a pandemic push.
Well, I'm wondering if it was... I'm so curious because now, like... Because one of the things is movies don't just release because they're ready. There's like a science to it because, you know, you don't want to...
They have to look at everything. Movie in the right time.
Yeah, you have to look at everything that's going to be around it as well. On top of, you know, action movies during the summer, you know, or whatever the trends are. I don't pay that much attention to movies, so I don't know. But I'm wondering if all of these movies just constantly changing, like getting pushed back multiple times sometimes...
It's having a ripple effect.
If it's kind of like so we need to delay. All right, judging by the current trends, COVID's not going away. We look at the numbers Tenet did, which is like the biggest movie to come out this year. And if you look at it if you look at the money it made in the theaters and compare it to what it should have made if it had released like last year, it bombed. Like it was an utter failure. I don't know how happy they are with it. With the numbers given the circumstances, but you look at that and you're like, okay, are we going to be able to release the movie and earn maybe this much money? Or do we just kind of pitch it to the next year to hope that maybe nothing else is going to be coming out around the same time? Or maybe if we announce a movie this late into the year, like all the way back into October, maybe we can be the big one for this time period. And other stuff that's going to be coming out will then be wary of us because we're the ones that planted our flag there first.
Definitely a possibility because, yeah, I know there's a lot more, you're right, that goes into it than just, you know, like it being done.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly like you said, you don't want to, certain movies don't want to compete with each other, especially when you've got, like, you know, Disney is the biggest studio around at this point, and they put out so many movies a year. Mm-hmm. They don't want to put out movies competing with themselves. Like that's just silly. So they have to start moving stuff around. And yeah, like that's definitely that is definitely changing a bunch of stuff up. And I know like New Mutants and Tenet both They were, from my understanding, they were happy with how much money it made, given A, how few movie theaters are actually open, and B, the, like, those movie theaters that are open, what their capacity is like.
Mm-hmm.
Since every movie theater that's open is putting in social distancing measures. So you can't sit, like, every other row is blocked off, and you can't sit within so many seats of another person that's not in your party. And that kind of thing.
Yeah, okay. So, looking at this, Tenet made is at $300 million worldwide. $14.7 million overseas and $2.7 million domestic.
Ooh.
So, like, this movie is something that would have made $300 million just here. Like, that wouldn't have been a... That wouldn't be a global number. That would just be, you know, America. So it's definitely hurting. And like you said, you know, with limited theaters even being open on top of the limited seating, it would have been a physical impossibility for it to really hit that, you know, what, like, they were hoping
they could
for.
Have sold every ticket possible,
mm-hmm.
and they wouldn't have hit the numbers that they want, the numbers that they would hit outside of COVID.
And they may have sold every ticket possible, because
honestly, that number is way higher than I thought it was going to be.
It's, well, and like, I mean, but then especially when you look at the 2.7 million is the domestic number. That's a, whew.
Yeah.
That's, which granted, I wish I was ever in a position to say, oh man, I only made $2.7 million.
Well, when you look at it, like, you know, they didn't make $2.7 million.
Oh yeah, no, it's because I don't know what the budget of the movie was, but I don't even know if it would have, if $300 million... Let's go on Google.
$300 million doesn't make a blockbuster movie anymore.
Nope, it did. $205 million.
Oh well, okay, never mind then.
So it's at least it's made its money back.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
good for
like,
it.
Because, like I said, I don't want the movie at all, but. I don't want stuff to fail. I would never go see a movie in a theater right now. Like you
Same.
Could, Tenet couldn't pay me. Like, Christopher Nolan could be like, hey, I'll let you meet Christian Bale. I'll let you tell Tom Hardy to his face that you thought his Bane was underrated and that movie gets a bad rap if you go and see Tenet. And I'd just be like, I'll just pay for the cameo, man. I ain't doing it.
Yeah, that's fair. I've gone to the movie theater exactly once since all this stuff had started. Shelby and I went to see New Mutants in Perryville. Because Derek had assured us of all the things they were doing to, you know, cover the pandemic protocols and everything. And it was cheap, and I desperately wanted to see the movie. And Shelby and I were two of five people in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I felt okay with that, but I don't intend on seeing another film in theaters during this pandemic.
Yeah.
Because I
mean, when you're
like, I just got real lucky on that one.
When it's you're two of five people, because people in Perryville can't spell the word movie, like, I think you're safe.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I did not feel like I was in danger in the Perry Park Center.
Then again, it's Perryville, so the three other people were probably trying to sit right next to you. They were like, oh, let's just pack it in.
Got to be real close so we can all talk. You know, I'll talk during this movie.
So,
nah, I'd have killed somebody.
I just looked. New Mutants made global $41 million.
Ooh, what was its? Oh God, what's
budget?
The word? I'm looking, what was his budget? Yeah.
More than that.
Oh no!
I don't think it was by much, but because I just looked it up, it came up. Budget was $67 to $80 million.
Oh, they better have some baller Blu-ray sales.
They might. Though, like I said, they were pretty happy with the performance on opening weekend of that movie, considering... Because like there were even fewer theaters open, significantly fewer theaters,
mm-hmm.
open when New Mutants hit versus Tenet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a situation where I think that they're looking at this as like, oh no, woe is us. Like, genuinely, I think having all of the movie theaters closed was their chance to finally actually release the movie.
Yeah, and I know Disney just kind of wanted to get it out there because, like, the bill had already been paid for it. The movie was done. It just needed to release. So, like, What you said 20% of movie theaters were open during the okay, hit it. Throw no, that see, release date out there.
No, look, we released it.
It's out.
It's out.
Go see it.
Honestly, I forgot that it did release. Like, you could have just talked about it and be like, oh, yeah, no, when's that coming out?
I don't know that I would have known. No, that's not true. I'm on the internet way too much to have missed it. but the super fan of the show, Derek Boxdorfer, told me about the deal they were doing at the Perry Park Center in Perryville, Missouri. You're welcome for the free shout-out, Derek. It's a solid movie-going deal. And they're still actually open, and like I said, they do a good job of everybody has to wear the masks. They disinfect every chair after every showing. Most of the theater is walled off, and they have a lot of good social distancing practices in effect. So, like, I'm not, like, recommending people go out during the pandemic and do stuff like go to movies. But at the very least, I feel like this is the safest you could possibly be and do so.
Yeah. Also, just the phrase, trusting Derek Boxdorfer isn't something I've ever really said a whole lot in my 28 years.
That man is a father.
I've known that man for most of those 28 years. He's been good the last two. Hayden's like 2.5.
But anyway, yeah, so like movie theaters are in real trouble. And like they just recently started putting in a bunch of other bids because... Without, like I said, that's the... No Time to Die was the last big blockbuster coming this year that may have, you know, saved a few movie theater chains. But with it pushing back to Easter 2021, there's not much incentive to go to the movie theater during the midst of a pandemic. Which, yeah. I argue, is not a bad thing for the country, but it does suck for the movie theater. Or for the movie theater business, I guess. Which, as Asa and I have talked about before, also, like, I love the movie-going experience, but... Eh. Like, no. I kind of like the idea of just being able to pay, like, you know, $20 to $30 and watch a brand new movie at home.
Yeah, this is me living my best life. Not having to go out and do things. Just...
I need you to see the South Park pandemic special.
Is it on Hulu?
I don't think so.
Dang it.
I honestly don't know.
I don't know if their stuff is still... I thought Hulu had South Park, but I don't remember.
I think they did it one time, but I don't think they do anymore, because I want to say Shelby had to look it up, because I think now it's on HBO Max only.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah, either way, like, mostly just, you got some real Cartman energy going from the beginning of that pandemic special.
Oh, that's not what you want to hear.
I know, right?
that is not a fictional character you want to be compared to.
If you'd have said Kyle or Stan, he probably would have understood it.
I'd have been on board. Even a Randy. Like, I'll take Randy, but yeah, Cartman is not... I don't want to.
In fairness, this is probably the best possible thing to be associated with Cartman on. Basically, he's loving this pandemic.
Oh yeah, no, I get that. That sounds right. That sounds about right.
He does not want to be anywhere near anybody. This is an excuse for him to stay at home and do nothing.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to say screw you guys because he's already staying at home.
Yeah, mm-hmm. he doesn't have to go home. He's already there. I did watch that pandemic special, though. Shelby's a big fan of South Park. I hadn't watched any of it in... Like, I am, like, 5 seasons behind or something like that with South Park.
Yeah, the Weed Farm season is really good.
I haven't seen it since they started doing... I didn't finish the season, but it was the first season that they actually had, like... That they acknowledge stuff that happened in other episodes. Like when they started to do the overarching stories. Mm-hmm. Because I distinctly remember the second episode, they go to school and, you know, they're doing everything like normal and the kids are still mad at them because of what they did last week. And they're just like, wait, what? What do you remember that? Of course we remember it. It was just last week. Like it, and it's because it's South Park and they will make fun of themselves as much as they'll make fun of anybody else. Yes. And I thought that was interesting. It's not like I was avoiding watching it. It was just I, for whatever reason, like other stuff took precedent.
Yeah, that's kind of how I've been with South Park. Like, I've just been kind of lukewarm about it for a while. Like, it's not that I dislike it or anything. I absolutely loved South Park in the early seasons when I was watching a whole lot of it. And then I just kind of stopped watching it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no particular reason. Shelby did have to explain to me about Tegrity Farms, which is the Randy. Randy now has a weed farm.
It's pretty good, because he has Tegrity.
Yeah, he has Tegrity. It's Tegrity Farms.
It's stupid. That was what Sadie made me get back into it, and I was like, okay, South Park is still pretty good.
And now Mr. Garrison is straight up Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Like, President of the United States and everything. And that's kind of funny. In an, oh god, this is the world we live in kind of way. But, yeah, no, like, the pandemic special was interesting, for sure. It went a lot of interesting directions with it, and it's South Park. So, like, there's a lot, they fit in pretty much everything that you come to expect from South Park into this one episode, including Mickey being evil, and Randy jizzing on something. Like, it's all there.
It's all their greatest hits.
Yeah.
Alright. So yeah, that's actually out. I know it's on HBO Max at the very least.
I also need it to be... Have we gone through the move-in TV news yet?
Yeah, we've done No Time to Die, and then we just talked about the South Park pandemic special.
And I threw in the bit about Dune.
Okay.
Yeah. Being delayed.
We've been in movies and TV, dog. Where have you been?
I'm just like, we are so far off the beaten path of, I know that we talked about No Time to Die, but I was like, did I miss Young Justice and Nick Fury?
No, in fairness, typically whenever we go into like an actual story, Jesse gives us the big, like, the intro and like talks it, but this one, it was just more conversation.
Yes. Which I thought was going well.
No, it was. I was just like, like, there's no news.
Yeah, I mean, plus, like, you've how many times have we done this? Like, I will usually go, like, in a rough order that I have on that sheet, but it is extremely common for me to go out of order.
I know, I just assumed I browned out. I'm sorry. I was like, oh god, I missed everything.
Nah. So yeah, Young Justice debuted a title and logo for season 4 to be called Young Justice Phantoms, which means they're actually working on it. Which means I should probably finish season 3.
I haven't even started season 3.
I watched to the mid-season finale, and then I lost my access to the DC Universe streaming application.
You're welcome. I have it again!
No,
we've gone over this. The pandemic made me do it.
I just feel like it's... I feel like at a certain... Like, HBO Max is an inevitability at this point. There's just too much stuff that's... Which, I don't even... Is Young Justice on HBO Max, or is it still shackled to... DC Universe.
I think all of DC Universe is on HBO Max now, but I'll check and make sure for you real quick. Because honestly, like, I say this as somebody that doesn't have to pay for HBO Max, but I would pay the $15 for it if I didn't have this access, because it is worth it. It's very good.
Yeah, it's just I'm already spending so much money on streaming stuff. And I always just end up watching The Office, The Good Place, Community, or The Simpsons. Because I just don't have the mental energy to, like, watch something new. And then, on top of the fact that, like, the consoles are coming, the games for the consoles are coming, NECA is not slowing down on the TMNT animated series figures, something's gotta give.
No, that's fair.
And I need it to not be my credit score.
Well,
fair.
The Young Justice is not currently on HBO Max, so
okay.
Maybe I'll give you it yet.
I'll give you a login, Asa.
Yeah, I might need to. Is it on Roku?
Probably the DC Universe probably is. Yeah.
Why are you using Roku? It definitely uses Chromecast.
Yeah, because usually if I'm in my room with the Chromecast, I'm playing something.
Fair enough.
So Roku, anything that I've watched has pretty much been on our bedroom TV, and that's got the Roku stick.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's...
You said, why are you using Roku... You were saying, why are you using Roku the same way that Shelby asked Jana why he was using a Keurig?
Like, well, it was... I knew he had a Chromecast.
Okay, so can I just bring up a Asa was wrong moment real quick in the wrong sure. segment of the show? So, Google announced their new version of the Chromecast is coming out, and yep. it does not support Google Stadia at launch.
Oh, no!
it'll get patched in sometime next year, they said. So... I was
Are you talking about the Google TV thing?
No, whatever their next generation of Chromecast is.
Yeah, it's Google TV.
Is it? Okay, yeah. It will not support Stadia.
That's so silly.
That is hilarious.
Gross.
I really wish I would have had that extra $150, $100, whatever it was that I spent on that controller that is I'm staring at right now with disdain.
Because I actually am thinking about getting, because like the Chromecast in my bedroom is real iffy on whether or not it's actually going to work. So I saw the commercial or whatever for the Google TV, and I might actually end up getting it because it's actually does 4K, as opposed to I don't think any of my Chromecast situations do 4K, but I'm not sure. Unless my TV's as... Because both my office TV and my living room TV have built-in Chromecast.
Oh.
And I have no way of finding out if either of them support 4K.
The so, king!
Jesse, I'm going to send you a link.
Sure.
Actually, I'm just going to put it in the Discord. It's related, but not really, so...
Okay.
But either way, the Google TV thing actually looks kind of cool because it's got, like, the TV I have in my office it's a cheaper 4K TV. And by cheaper, I mean, like, 4K TVs have gotten ludicrously inexpensive. This is a 55-inch 4K TV that I purchased for $225. And it's got, like, the Android TV built into it, I think is what they're calling it. So, like, I can actually download, like, I have access to the Play Store, and I can download certain apps from the Play Store onto the TV.
Mm-hmm.
And it's real neat.
Oh, I'm about to hit this up.
Oh, wait, Google never mind. That is not what I thought it was.
They're going to give me the new Chromecast for free if I pay for 1 month of YouTube TV?
Yeah, no, I'd hit that deal.
I thought it was YouTube Premium, which was just, like, their ad-free, and I was like, holy crap, yeah, I'll spend $15 or whatever it is on a Chromecast. But it's not. It's YouTube TV, which is more expensive. Not
oh, never mind, then.
I am fine paying $15 for... Because the device itself that I was planning on buying is $50.
Oh, never mind. The first month is $65.
Yeah, no, I just read that. Never mind, I'm yep. out.
I'm gonna just delete that from the Discord.
It's still a good deal.
It's gone.
So I was planning on getting one of those anyway and paying the $50 for it. But if I could do YouTube TV, I could pay $15 for a month of YouTube TV, and I could use that to actually watch football. Because I just did a free subscription or free trial or whatever to Fubo TV, because the method I was using to stream football games was... aggravating me. I was like, I just want a free trial so I can watch this game real quick. And it was just real nice to be able to go to my phone, hit the button, and just like, here, cast the football game, please and thank you. That was very nice, and I very much enjoyed that. So yeah, no, that's that I still appreciate this share, Asa, and for those of you out there, yeah, you did YouTube TV, you buy a month of that and you can get a 4K Chromecast with Google TV for free.
But again, the Chromecast by itself is $50, and the first month of YouTube TV is $65.
Yep. So for $15, you'll have a month of YouTube TV, which, if nothing else, because like, I've had free trials to YouTube TV before, because that's how I traditionally watch the Super Bowl. You can, there's a ton of really good, like, movies, like, on demand with available on YouTube TV. Like a shocking number of them. Like that's actually how I watched Happy Death Day and Happy Death Day to You was via YouTube TV trials.
So,
Yeah. Anyway, which if you listened to last Thursday's show, One of my big recommended movies for 2020 is Happy Death Day to you, but you do need to watch Happy Death Day first. And both of them are great movies.
Have you seen the preview for the movie that's done by the same people with Vince Vaughn?
No.
I can't remember the name of it, but the premise is there's this girl in high school and the town has a serial killer that's loose, and the serial killer gets her, but instead of murdering her, like, casts a spell and they switch bodies. So it's like a freaky, it's called Freaky. And it's like a Freaky Friday. So she goes into the body of this, like, serial killer that the police are closing in on. And then the killer is now in this high school girl body. And the killer is Vince Vaughn.
Huh.
And it's I really like the sound of this premise, especially if it's the same guys that did Happy Death Day, but boy do I hate Vince Vaughn.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Yeah. He's always kind of annoyed me, and then to add, like, he's a big-time Trump supporter.
Is he really?
Yeah.
That's kind of surprising. But yeah, I thought the same
when I found that out.
I just, the trailer for that showed up as a YouTube ad the other day for me. And I just remember seeing, like, from the producers or from the director, I don't remember. Someone involved in the Happy Death Day movies is involved with this one. And it was, and it's also kind of, you know, comedy, horror.
Hmm. No, yeah, that sounds real fun. Like I said, I really like that premise, so. Yes. Yes. Anyway, moving on here, we got a Lion King live-action sequel is coming with Barry Jenkins to helm. So, yeah, it's apparently not going to be the second Lion King movie. It'll be a whole new story, which is good.
Yeah, you start moving into those Disney property too. That's not a Pixar. It gets a little dicey.
Yeah. So that's coming. Like it'll be a live action movie. It could be good. We don't know anything else about it. Like I like Barry Jenkins. So maybe. Resident Evil Infinite Darkness got a trailer. I don't know. Did you guys actually watch this?
Nope.
I did not. I'm not. I'm probably not going to do it tonight, but once I start streaming again, this is breaking news, and if Hunter still listens to these episodes, he'll be excited. I am going to do Resident Evil 7 because I hate myself, but I'm not super into Resident Evil, so I'm probably not going to see this. So I didn't even know there was a trailer until I saw the notes.
Huh. Yeah. The trailer was basically it gave us almost nothing. It just looks like a really good cinematic from a Resident Evil game, from a more current one. That's about it.
Hmm.
There's a zombie in it. I don't really know what else to add on that one. Yeah, Resident Evil Infinite Darkness coming to Netflix soon.
Hang on. You said there's a zombie?
Sorry. It's not a zombie. Because it's Resident Evil.
No, I was just being a sarcastic D-bag, because that's their bread and butter. They weren't not zombies until 4. 4?
That's
4.
True. Yeah, I think 4 was when that was the first time they were not zombies.
It was the T-virus that turned everyone into a zombie, and then it was the Plaga? Plaga? Something like that?
I don't remember that. That story is just...
For someone who doesn't care about Resident Evil, I seem to know enough about it.
It happens. You're fine.
So, yeah, the Infinite Darkness trailer hit. It looks pretty. Like, it's not the prettiest CG thing I've ever seen, but it's, like, I don't... Like I said, it looks like a good quality Resident Evil cinematic. We got... Asa, you're going to have to fill me in, because I clicked this link... And I don't understand what was happening, and I forgot to look into it more. Star Wars From a Certain Point of View to be revealed tomorrow? Hit me with that. What do we got?
Let me get the tweet pulled up. So basically, I saw this because Gary Whitta, who is the writer of Star Wars Rogue One, has been teasing a... let me get his Twitter pulled up. He's been teasing another Star Wars project. for a little bit now. And he tweeted this out. It's from an account called Star Wars Books. So it's likely not going to be a... God, he tweets a lot. There it is. Excited to finally drop all the deets on the story I wrote for this tomorrow morning. There may be a small hint in the soundtrack I had on loop while writing it. And then that goes to a YouTube video, which is Star Wars Echo Base from Empire Strikes Back. But the tweet itself is tomorrow, Tuesday, October 6th, 40 authors, 40 stories, 40 social cards. Character reveals, scenes, story order, and more. Discover all the tales inside Star Wars from a certain point of view, Strikes Back, coming November 10th. And then the graphic is Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, from a certain point of view. So it looks like this is, I don't know if it's going to be a comic or a graphic novel, or if it's just going to be a straight up book of various writers writing stories within the Empire Strikes Back, but from specific characters' point of view. So could be super cool.
That sounds real neat. I'll definitely be looking for the announcement tomorrow. See what's going on with what. Yeah. Well, this next portion of our podcast is brought to you by our wonderful friends at Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri. You can find their online shop. It's fully up and functioning and running, villainousgrounds.com. They'll ship you comics. That's really not much else to say about that. They have a pretty solid back stock, so if you're missing any old issues that you haven't been able to find on, you know, the from the big guys, then yeah, hit up villainousgrounds.com. Check it out. So, yeah, not a lot of comic book news outside of, like, X-Men has been hitting the news like crazy. The Ten of Swords stuff, we've been seeing a whole lot about that. I sent Asa a picture of my new favorite edgelordy villain in the X-Men universe. A guy by the name of Solemn, he looks neat.
Oh, his name is Solemn, I forgot. Oh, he is a literal edgelord.
Yes. Yes.
It's so stupid.
Yes.
But I love it.
Also, yes. Dalton, I'm gonna go ahead and throw this into the Discord so you can see what this dude looks like.
I feel like this is going to be one of the things that I'm going to hit. Yup.
He has adamantium skin, Dalton.
Jesus Christ. What? God.
He's also, so edgelordy.
Also, can we note the spelling of Solemn? It's just S-O-L-E-M.
E-M. Yep.
So stupid.
So we got to see all the new villains. Most of them are kind of dumb looking, but he's extra.
He's dumb. Extra dumb.
So like he's got that like arrogant edgelordiness about him, and I dig it.
Oh my god.
It's good stuff. It's good
stuff. No, it's not. No, it's not.
Dalton, he has adamantium skin. Isn't that cool?
Jesse, that is stupid, and you know it.
It's going to be fun. So
we already have a person in the Marvel Universe with practically adamantium skin. His name is Luke Cage.
Nah, his skin ain't nowhere near adamantium.
Oh, this is so stupid.
It's just straight up unbreakable.
But he can still bleed on the inside, right?
Well, yeah. Well, I don't know about Solemn.
Oh, yeah, Solemn definitely can. He needs to be better. This is so dumb. I hate this.
Yeah.
Like, if I saw that in, like, a Marvel Legend, I would be like, alright, I don't need the Build-A-Figure, do I? And if I did, I'd be like, alright, cool, Makari, the second I open that up, that's getting sold. That is so ugly and stupid.
Oh, no, I dig it. Like, but you should see the rest of them, Dalton. I didn't actually show this picture to Asa, but here's the whole crew.
Solemn looks less stupid in there, but still looks, like, pretty stupid. All of the Pharaoh stuff is coolish, I guess, but it looks like it came straight from the 1990s. Yes. Actually, yeah, all of them.
you do understand that's why we love it so much, right? Like, like that's a major selling point. Like this,
oh
dude,
my god,
this dude's not Ghost Rider, but his head's on fire, and I'm fine with it. Like that one's just Anubis, but like, I don't care.
That one actually doesn't have the picture of the other cool one. Or it does, but, like, it's hard to see him. The
Please tell
picture,
me you just air-quoted cool.
Nope. The no. second picture,
is it the
look
giant...
at the guy in the background.
Is it the crocodile head Goro rock monster?
Yes, it is.
Oh, he's
oh my
friend.
God. I hate you guys.
Yeah, he was my other favorite. I didn't send him to Asa earlier.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
No, this is amazing.
It's so cool.
Oh my god. I
see, a ten of swords, y'all.
Alright, what's next on the list?
There's, you know, there's one last solemn.
God, I hate you! Why are you doing this to me? Okay, without the, like, seeing that he has hair makes it even more dumb that he has adamantium skin.
Yeah, I don't like that he has hair, unless the hair is also adamantium.
God, I hate
and
you!
And he can turn it into blades.
Oh, hell yeah. Is
I don't know
real?
If that's true. No,
dang
I have
it.
No idea.
Dang it.
How does he get a haircut?
Also, he doesn't. Look how long it is, you idiot. Think before you speak. Also, this image with the wind looks like he's holding a scythe, which is an immediate just plus 10 in coolness for me.
Unfortunately, he is not holding a scythe. They
oh no, I know.
Swords.
It's a sword. It's just with the wind and the way it's hooked there, and that kind of looks like the handle. It just looks like it.
Yeah, no, so, I definitely see where you're coming from with it.
So I'm just pretending to.
Oh,
this
fair.
Is stupid.
No, it's great. Oh, here, Dalton. Here's your favorite writer ever, Grant Morrison.
Yeah.
Grant Morrison and Yannick Paquette have been greenlit for, or I guess they've announced, the conclusion to the Wonder Woman Earth 1 trilogy. It's going to hit March 9th, so if it's hitting March 9th, presumably they have it done, basically. They're just, well, yeah. Maybe not.
I mean, he probably has a storyboard for it finished.
Yeah.
And it's Grant Morrison, so it's going to be unnecessarily meta.
Well, yeah. Apparently,
I mean, I love it. I love it, but like,
I haven't read either of the first two Wonder Woman Earth One books, but apparently it's solid. Grant Morrison always has like his strong cult following and a few other people that kind of like it. So there's that. But yeah, no, from what I've heard, like it's really good. So I'm happy that people will get a conclusion of that trilogy. Like I said, March 9th is when it's going to hit. So make sure you hit up your local comic shop. Get yourself a copy ordered. This next portion of our podcast brought to you by our wonderful friends at Press Start to Join. You can find all of their content, including their social media links, at ps2jshow.com. I do believe they're still doing the segment where they're telling you where and how to get free games, which is potentially the most important thing you could get during this pandemic when it's time to stay home and find stuff to do. So make sure you hit them up again. ps2jshow.com. Do what, Dalton?
I was about to say, if they... And then I just stopped myself. I was going to make myself angry. I decided to not take that route.
Oh, yeah, because nobody in the United States wants to stay home?
Yeah. I mean, some of us want to like, not... No, 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 not this show. What do you got in video games this week, Jesse?
Steve from Minecraft is the next Super Smash Brothers character.
Me and Mandy's heart broke at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, not like either of you two are going to play it.
I mean, also,
I mean, if it was
still,
Sora, we would have.
There's still four other characters to go. So, it's not like Steve being in Minecraft. Like, Steve in Smash didn't remove the possibility of Sora.
Also, I
it's
don't know
not
who's clicking around
or.
In there, but I need you to stop.
Oh, my bad.
It wouldn't be so bad like if it was just the cursor moving, but there's this little flag that says like that you're clicking around and it's covering words.
My bad. I'm just gonna put my cursor underneath all of it.
That'll work. So yeah, Steve from Minecraft. No, yeah, Ace is absolutely right. There could still be some other cool characters, and you know, I'm really happy for some people that Steve is in there. I just I don't know, like, my I want a character that I like to be announced, you know, soon-ish, maybe.
And you think they'll do you think they'll do another Fire Emblem character than Jesse?
No, they got Byleth, which I called. Byleth will probably be the last Fire Emblem character unless they release another Fire Emblem game. But, yeah.
Honestly, like, I get it not being, like, up your wheelhouse. And, like, your reaction is the proper reaction. It's the people who are like, I'm trading it in, blah, blah, blah. This is the dumbest thing ever. No one cares about Minecraft. No, you were incorrect. It is literally the best-selling game ever.
Yeah.
This is a huge deal. This is honestly, like,
and other than Fortnite. No, it's not just kids. Like,
other than Fortnite, this is the last major, like, mainstream video game franchise.
Yeah.
To get in there. And I don't think that they would put, like, the Fortnite default skins in. They might, like, honestly. Especially now that they've proven that building can be part of a character loadout. Because, honestly, like, Steve, the short video we got in the trailer, I didn't watch the breakdown that they did before over the weekend. But, like, he looks super interesting. Plus, you get all the bonus skins with, like, the zombie and Enderman and Alex, like... I think it's kind of cool, but at the same time, like, I also recognize that, you know, it's not everybody's cup of tea. Like, Jesse is allowed to be disappointed because it's a Minecraft character, but he's not allowed to be hostile about it, which not that you are at all, but it's the internet and
people. Well, you know, a lot of the internet is really hostile about it. And yeah, no, like I said, I think he's fine. I don't know. It's a needlessly complicated character is my only real complaint from, like, an actual, like, gameplay point of view. Because he actually does have to, like, craft up his weapons, and they get stronger as he does it. And, that to me, like, inside Smash Bros. Is just weird.
See, but hasn't every DLC character had some weird quirk to it?
Like, I mean...
Joker's got the whatever mode that he switches over, like watching the hero from Dragon Quest.
He's got a lot of RNG built into him, which is definitely quirky.
Yeah, so this just kind of seems like this is Steve's thing.
It's just like it's and yeah, you're right. Like they've had things. It's just this is I don't know how to really word it. Like it's not really. Like, it's a purposefully slow thing, I guess. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's repeating a lot of the things that people already hate about characters like Pikmin, for example, and, like, Pac-Man. Or, I say Olimar when I say Pikmin. Because, like, Olimar has a kind of a similar thing where you have to, like, grind out and get, like, the right layout of Pikmin for him to be any good. And then you've got, Pac-Man has to, like, cycle through, like, all of his little things to get, like, the correct one that he wants for that moment. I don't know. Like, it's... He's an interesting character. He does not look like he fits my playstyle even a little bit. Which is fine. Like, I mean, maybe somebody else can enjoy him. Like, I don't know. It's also one of those things where you add in, like, that much... stuff to it, it leaves it really open to being just outright broken for a minute. Because that's definitely happened before in Super Smash Brothers. They've ended up having to nerf the crap out of something just to get it, like, you know, reasonably playable. But, it's fine. It'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll
not
be,
like I'll ever get to play in a Super Smash Brothers tournament again anyway.
I'm curious to see... I'm very curious to see, like... how someone like who gets good with him uses him, because even though like I like honestly the only DLC I have for Smash is the Piranha Plant, because I just haven't played all that much,
right?
And but I'm every once in a while I'll find myself in a weird like YouTube rabbit hole, and I will watch people play like the DLC characters like as they come out, just to kind of get a feel for what they do. And there's some neat ones, but there's also some that I could not imagine even wanting to try. And like Steve is up there, like his is weird, like mining and crafting and building and all of that, like while in the middle of a super hectic smash fight. Like, yeah, I don't think I would try to make that work.
Yep. And that's why a lot of the best characters. Yeah, no kidding.
I'll be fascinated to watch someone who does.
Yeah, because a lot of the characters that see a lot of play in Smash Brothers are ones that can move quickly and execute their confirms quickly. And it just doesn't, like, Steve doesn't seem to be one of those kind of characters. Like, I don't think he'll be able to confirm easily or quickly. Like, it's just a lot of slowdown. But the important thing with this is that we have further proof that Nintendo will go with something that they will give us content from in Super Smash Brothers, characters that are very much not Nintendo. Like, we didn't even get Minecraft until, like, they finally released it for the Switch not too long ago. So,
yeah. I guess, like, I was thinking, because I thought there was, like, a Mii Fighter Steve costume or something like that that had come out, but maybe I'm thinking of Master Chief.
There's definitely not a Master Chief.
Or is there not a Master Chief Mii Fighter outfit?
No.
Oh,
they released in the last one, they had a Mii Fighter outfit for, was it Doomguy maybe? Or, no, it wasn't Doomguy. Who did they, because on the last announcement they made, they released like a Mii Fighter outfit that I remember Shannon was real upset about.
I don't remember. Ugh. I know they announced Travis Touchdown for this one.
Yes. But yeah, I'm trying to remember the other Mii Fighter stuff, because I don't. Here we go. Mii Fighter costumes.
I know Shovel Knight. I think, Bomberman got announced for this one too, didn't it?
As a Mii Fighter?
Yeah.
Possibly?
I can't remember.
Here we go. Mii costumes. Yeah, Bomberman and Travis for this one. And then the last one, it was Vault Boy. That was the one that Shannon got really excited about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so Creeper, Pig, and the Diamond Armor are all Mii Fighters in this update. And then, yeah, Bomberman and Travis. So a bunch of other... And then Gil. I don't know who Gil is.
And then they did an Altair one, and they've done Cuphead. That was the other, like, kind of crazy one. They did Cuphead a while back.
And I think Shovel Knight?
I don't...
Also got one?
I don't think they've got a Shovel Knight one.
Oh, no, there's a Shovel Knight trophy.
There is a Shovel Knight trophy. That is accurate. But anyway, yeah, there's a ton of those Mii Fighter stuff. But, yeah, no, definitely no Master Chief.
I thought there was some... There was, like, a Microsoft Mii Fighter.
Not that I know of. I mean, unless you're thinking of Cuphead.
And that might have been it. But it don't matter.
Either way, Xbox Ultimate Game Pass subs. We talked about this a while back. The EA Play is getting added in for free if you have Xbox Ultimate Game Pass. We have the date now is November 10th confirmed. I think that was kind of swimming around, but we weren't sure. So now we know for sure. If you have Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, then you get EA Play starting November 10th bundled in with your subscription.
Nice.
Yeah, so now it's, I mean, what was already a good deal is a monstrously good deal now.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. Xbox Game Pass is the best deal in video games. Yeah. And I also know that I'm not the only person to have said that, but...
Yeah, I mean,
it's right, hands though. Down
very true. It's not even close.
Yeah.
Alright, so yeah, that's real cool. And, I mean, there's a ton of stuff on that EA Play stuff, so, yeah, no, I'm pretty happy about that. Rainbow Six Siege confirmed will be running 4K 120 on next gen. If you have the game currently, you will get a free upgrade.
Cool. So,
kudos, Ubisoft. Look at you making good decisions.
Well, for this decision.
Yeah. Yeah. They're another company that's a whole lot of one step forward, two steps back.
Mm-hmm.
They're real big on that.
It's real unfortunate.
Speaking of one step forward and two steps back, so Spider-Man Remastered, you guys have heard about that, right?
Yup.
Yeah, so Spider-Man Remastered is happening. They're adding ray tracing and a bunch of other stuff. It'll look just as pretty as the new Miles Morales game. However, if you have the PlayStation 4 copy of Spider-Man, it will work on PlayStation 5, but you will not get the upgrade to the PS5 remastered version. There's actually no path to upgrade to that version. If you want the remastered version of Spider-Man, you have to purchase the Ultimate Edition for PlayStation 5 of the Miles Morales game, or if you buy the PlayStation 4 version of Miles Morales, you will actually get the free upgrade to the PlayStation 5 version of Miles Morales, and then for $20, you can purchase Spider-Man Remastered for the PlayStation 5. So in other words, there is no way to get the PlayStation 5 Spider-Man Remastered without purchasing Miles Morales as of this point.
I was gonna buy it anyway, so...
I mean, I'm buying Miles Morales on PlayStation 4. And it's cool that it'll have that upgrade. But... I don't know. It, like, in a time where everybody is talking about, like, yeah, like, we're updating and improving this game for next gen, and everybody that has it on current gen gets that upgrade for free, it just seems like a weird time to say, yeah, I mean, I know everybody else is, but we're not gonna...
Yeah, so the way that... I mean, I was going to buy the Ultimate Edition, because it's the Ultimate Edition, right?
Yeah, yeah, the Ultimate Edition is what gets you the remaster.
That's the only game dropping for PS5 day one that I want. Well, I want Miles Morales, and it's one of those where it's just like, I'll just buy the Ultimate Edition and just have it in one package. It made sense to me. So it's one of those that it doesn't affect me a whole lot, because I was going to do it anyway.
See, whereas it does affect me, because I literally just rebought Spider-Man the Complete Edition when it was on sale like 2 months ago, because I wanted to be, because I didn't have it physical, or I had it physical and I wanted it digital, and I didn't have the DLC. So I was like, okay, I'll grab it while it's on sale. And it's my own fault for thinking that I would get, you know, the best version of it on PlayStation, when they have done nothing to message the fact that, one, it would even be playable, two, that it would be the updated version. Like, Microsoft is killing it when it comes to next-gen messaging. Like, people already have the consoles. Like you mentioned, there not being much news, but, like, all of the news is just stuff we wouldn't normally talk about. Like, right. Go and check out Jeff Grubb or Digital Foundry's breakdown of the Series X, especially the comparison load times for previous-gen games. Like, people have a build of the Series X right now. PlayStation 5 is only 2 days after the Series X launches, but, like, I think people in Japan only, like, just got it, and there's not a whole lot of information coming out. And so when Microsoft is like, oh, hey, yeah, no, if you're going to buy a game on our platform, you get the next-gen version of the game for no extra fee. And I was really hoping Sony would do something similar, so that bit me in the butt. Because now I'm going to have to buy the extra... I'm going to have to spend the extra $20 to... Which, granted, I can play Spider-Man on my PS5 because it is backwards compatible, but I'm not going to get all of the ray tracing and next-gen bells and whistles that, looking at the screen grabs that have been posted about it, I'm going to want. Because, holy dang, that looks pretty.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, the only way for you to get it is to buy... Again, the Ultimate Edition of Miles Morales.
Mm-hmm. I think it's $80.
Yeah.
It's 70. Or no.
I think it's 80 for the 70. Ultimate Edition.
Is it? Because I thought Miles was 50. And then...
You know what? GameStop.com. GameStop.com exists. Give me a second. I'll get an answer for it.
Because we're reaching... Because now it's that thing of... the $40 price point is now going to be $50 because the $60 price point is now $70.
All right, I just found it. Give me a second. I'll get your answer. $70, my bad.
Okay. Because it's, yeah, because otherwise it's $50.
Like, oh, I am so excited for this.
Okay, yeah, because I was also thinking that it was 80, because I was thinking $60 release, $20 for the remastered version of Spider-Man. Which, I mean, like, yeah. I'm gonna get Miles Morales anyway, and it's not like I really care that much about, like, you know, get it, like, it's one of those things that it doesn't affect me much, because I'm getting Miles Morales on PlayStation 4. I've been very vocal about the fact that the Series X is going to be my next-gen console, and I'll pick up a PlayStation 5 sometime around Gen 2 when they make it less hideous. And, yeah, so I'm completely fine with, like, this doesn't affect me at all. Like, I'll probably want to at least check it out. Like, I'll be a little bummed that I can't check out the remastered version once I get a PlayStation 5. Like, it would have just been nice to be able to have the game, and then it worked like a bunch of other games. Like, especially, you mentioned Microsoft knocking it out of the park. Like,
yeah.
They're not forcing developers to do it if they don't want to. Like, they can... It's up to the developer. But every Microsoft title that releases, if you buy the... We talked about it several times before. If you buy the Xbox One version, you will get the Xbox Series X version at no extra cost. And not only that, but you'll be able to go back and play the Xbox One version on your Xbox One, and then play the Series X version on the Series X. Like, you own both games, effectively.
And they've also said that your saves are going to carry over, whereas that messaging has been very mixed bag for Sony.
Yeah, because it very much seems like it's... I don't know, Sony has not been communicating... Like, you're right, the messaging has been off with Sony. Like, it's very, like... There's no real comparison between who's been doing better at communicating stuff to the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, like we've talked about before, Sony has got a clear lead on Microsoft. So, like, Microsoft are the ones that have to play this PR game, because they're the ones that have to play catch-up. So just, yeah. It's a bummer, though. Like, especially for people like in Ace's situation, where, you know, they want that, you know, remaster version of the, and they just recently bought Spider-Man and stuff like that, and they're just not getting, they're not getting that same treatment, and it's a bummer.
Yeah,
it's a real.
Oh, bummer. No, I get it. I know. I'm just in that group of, like, I was buying that version anyway. Like, that was, I think that's gonna probably be my birthday present from Sadie.
It's fair.
Was that, like, I told her, like, I just want the Ultimate Edition of it. So. Mm-hmm. Like, I get, like, I'm not understating, like, oh, no, that sucks. It does, because Xbox is absolutely doing it the proper way. It's just one of those where this one time it will not affect me. It will affect me another time, and I'll be very annoyed.
Right. Yeah, no, it does. So, like, and that's why I'm talking about it. It's like, no, like, Sony, get your stuff together. I'm not, like, saying that what they did is cool. But I think Dalton and I are both saying the same thing, and fortunately, this isn't impacting us. We're very sorry to those of you that it is.
Yeah. Get your house in order, Padilla.
So yeah, that's that Spider-Man news. WoW Shadowlands has been postponed to later this year. We don't know the exact date on it. We do know that the pre-patch is hitting October 13th, and they're introducing the new leveling system and all the character customization options. And honestly, that's going to be a pretty good time. Like, if you've been kind of thinking about getting back into World of Warcraft, October 13th, then, will be a good time to do so, because I believe if they're talking about the new leveling system, that means they're going to introduce the level squish, because with Shadowlands, they're dropping it from 120 all the way back down to 60, and you can choose how you want to level up, like what store you want to level up in. So you can play all the way through basically any of the expansions, and by the time you're done with that, it will have you to the new content. You don't have to basically go through abbreviated versions of all the stories anymore, which is a really, really good decision on Blizzard's part. This is honestly really cool. So, yeah, if you're interested in it, pick it, definitely, or if you've been thinking about it, definitely give it a shot then. Especially all those customization options. They have announced so many customization options. It is insane how many new things you can do to all the different character races and classes. And then Payday 3... it's confirmed to be in development, so for those of you that are fans of that franchise, congratulations, that's happening. Finally.
Is it the same people who, like, put out a super broken version of the game and then constantly just said they were gonna fix it and then just never did?
Honestly, I don't know.
Is that Payday that I'm thinking of?
Yeah, it is Payday that you're thinking of, because, well, they apparently they did finally fix it. But yeah, whenever they did the next gen launch for Payday 2, it was just broken and awful. But I guess they did finally fix it.
That's good.
And then Payday 3, yeah, it's still Starbreeze, so... yeah. Alright. And then Cyberpunk 2077 has gone gold, which, amid all the controversy, I don't know if you saw any of that, Asa, did you?
With their crunch?
Yes.
Yes.
So that did kind of come out. The studio responded to it. Because, yeah, it broke that, you know, they were talking about we're never going to require a crunch from anybody. And then they just sent out an email that they're requiring a studio-wide crunch for it. They did come out with a statement that I kind of liked in that everybody's being paid handsomely for this. This is something that, you know, they need to get this game out at this point. And they also mentioned that their typical bonus of like 10% of the profit for the game is split amongst the entire team, which is kind of cool. So
yeah,
if it's gonna be crunch time, like, that's probably the best way to be crunch time,
which is nice. Like, I mean, I'm and I get at a certain point the game has to come out, but I'm always just, I would rather just get delayed again than do this. And it's I think that statement that they put out is very, very telling, because it says as required by Polish law, because a lot of the companies here in America that end up, you know, doing these nightmare crunch hours, like, they don't get compensated extra because they don't have to be. So it's, I think that's kind of a, oh, it's, you know, it's not necessary, it's not out of the goodness of our hearts that we're paying them overtime. It's because legally our government is making us. So I just think that's kind of a weird thing. I do like the 10% of the profits is being split among the team. So that's nice. But yeah, they absolutely had to issue a statement because they initially said we will never crunch. It's the Sean Gordon Murphy of the no delays of the, when we say a book's coming out, that book's coming out. Okay, so real quick, just quick update. We have to delay one of these books.
We have to delay one of these books by 1 week because there was a mix up with the publisher.
Which, granted, instead of it being like 30 seconds, this was like more than a year, I think.
Yeah, because that was funny. It was like in the same fucking week.
Ugh! Yeah.
Dang it.
Oh, Jesse.
I know, I made it all the way to the end.
You did it last time, too.
I know. It's all this, like, it's the Thursday show, really, and probably Tuesday, too.
That Shelby's a bad influence on you.
Possibly. All right. That's going to do it for us, folks. Just go ahead and end it on that F-bomb there. I apologize for that. And but I get one per show, right? That's the rule.
Yeah. You're always the one using it, so.
I mean, right? You're the host. You get to make the rules.
I didn't used to do this.
No, it was Shelby. It's her fault. All
right, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in. Catch you next time.